racism. You think about it. What is it? It's not infant baptism.
I love it. I love that one. I had to play that. I just had to. All right. Next on the list. So we'll get to some songs. Let's see.
I am tired of the pleasure this old world can afford. How I thirst for the fountain that springs forth from the Lord. Though my sin comes to haunt me, nevermore shall I roam. Oh, my soul is worn and weary, I'm going home. I'm going home.
Yeah. walk in the light, as he is the light, as he is the light, as he is the light. If we walk in the light, as he is the light, we'll dwell with him then on high. Blood cleanses me from all of my sin, from all of my sin, from all of my sin. His blood cleanses me from all of my sin and washes me white as snow, white as snow. If you bear the cross and you
song. That was Alan Ives, by the way, and his wife. Let's see, I like this.
Lift me up above the shadows, plant my feet on higher ground, lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where thy pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength.
Evermore abide.
Lift me up.
Let's see.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must e'er be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. And one more.
Now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, give me a man to fight. The Israelites said, we got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright. Then a boy with a sling, a pocket full of rocks, that knew how to trust and pray, said, if you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Now the decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. Here comes supper, one roared. And if you'd have been standing anywhere close, you'd have heard Brother Daniel say, if you're talking about me, forget it, boys. I came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came. Now, the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, turn that old furnace up, high time up. Throw 'em on in. The Hebrew boys are gonna fry. A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard Brother Shadrach say, pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hand. We came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I want all the preachers to stand, every preacher. I've got a sermon, a stanza I wrote for you. On the way to Dallas in the plane. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad and said, turn those rules up high. Time up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty is gonna die. A little while later, they looked in the churches. They heard God's prophets say, we may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here.
Amen. Amen. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. For right now, anyway, that's where the meeting house is. We'll see what happens here within a couple days, or months, I should say. We have until August 31st. We got to find a meeting house. We'll get by if we don't have one by then. Praise the Lord. If we have to meet at the Southern Command Center out here or some other place, we'll do what we have to do, and God will take care of us. But we sure are praying that the Lord would give us something. So you pray for us about that as we look towards that. We're not that far off. So many things. Man, after that European trip, so many things and things that have come up and you know, just kind of crazy. I think we made the devil mad helping people all over the place. But we also, God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. And God teaches us, chastens us, uses things to build our faith and to trust him more. And so, you know what? I don't worry about the devil picking on me like that. But what I do believe is that God is sovereign over all, and whatever he allows to happen, he allows it to happen. And, you know, we have to, you know, do what God commands us to do, of course. And God teaches us through many trials and tribulations and challenges and things that come up in this life. And God is faithful. So you pray for us about that. And then you pray also for us about I have a number of debts that are coming up due, will be due here by the end of, by July sometime, by the end of July. And, so we just need the Lord to provide for those things. I have to get ready to order the heating for everything for the year, and all part of that is the concrete compound here. That's part of the heat expenses and things of that nature as well. So got to keep that warm in here and keep the heat on it. So all that good stuff in the middle of the frozen tundra of Minnesota. And unfortunately, we have winter 8 months out of the year. So that's part of it. That's part of the expenses that will come up. Just some other surprises But you know what? Nothing's a surprise to God. God knows it all. So so you just pray for us that the Lord would provide. And if the Lord wants you to do something, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, hey, pray that God would lead somebody else to do it. And, you know, God will provide. Amen. He always has it. He always has it. So thankful for that. And we're just anxious to see how God's going to do it. And he's done it before. He'll do it again. So many times in this ministry, I've watched God do some amazing things. That's why I'm trying to, I'm not trying to figure it out because I don't need to figure out what God's going to do. I think about this meeting house situation and everything about this ministry has always been unique. Since the beginning of this ministry, the way that God called me into the ministry, how he had me trained for the ministry, and how we did not become a 501c3 corporation. We did not get a tax-exempt status, did not go the government route. All those things to not going in debt for a big building that strapped us in debt and caused us a lot of money, not getting tied up into some of those things. Just all of those things. So it's amazing. Just the uniqueness of it and how God is uniquely provided for us. Look at this studio. The money that we needed for this studio last year, and I'm just going to brag on God, and God gave it to us. You remember that? You were all part of it, remember? God used you. Man, I had people given through gifts through what was that called? Coinbase, cryptocurrency. I had them mailing stuff in and through PayPal or whatever. And look, we got this all done here so we could have this here. And so I didn't have to drive, 40 minutes every time to do a broadcast. I could just walk down my driveway and do the broadcast and reach thousands of people right here. And God provided it. And then to Europe. To that trip to Europe, which was February, I was like, man, maybe we'll go to Europe. And Brother Andrew's like, wow, I'd go. And I'm like, what? What? Talking about? I'd go to Europe? What? Then all of a sudden, all this stuff just started flying in. Then here I am preaching the gospel over in Europe. Like, wait a minute, how did that happen? And I only had, I have a little bit of expense left from that. Most of it was all paid for. I mean, all of it was paid for except this little bit that was left. So, and then not only me, but it was able to pay for Brother Andrew to go. For us to, and by the way, we have a ton of footage. I just haven't had, I've got to put it together. Andrew's going to get it ready. We're going to do one on Newgrange. We're going to do one on the Vatican. We're not done with any of this stuff. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of what we're doing with everything yet. England. All we're not done with. We haven't even begun with what we're doing with all that stuff. So it'll be towards winter probably when I have more time to work on it. And we can take that footage and we can use it and to preach the gospel and to get the truth out of so many. The Colosseum. Oh, man. I want to do some stuff on the Colosseum. Right? But not only did it pay for myself, not only did it pay for Brother Andrew to go and to be a blessing to these other churches, we didn't have to be chargeable to other people that we visited. The Lord allowed us to be able to pay for those things and then to pay much of the travel expenses for Brother Carl and Mary as they traveled with us. So it wasn't, some people say, well, you just went on a vacation. That was not a vacation. When I took a trip to my family, which no one else paid for, by the way, when I took a trip with my family, that was my vacation. That was not a vacation over there. It was a blessing. It was ministry. It was the Lord's work. But that was not a vacation. in that sense, for sure. But it was a blessing, and it was able to be a blessing to other people. We're thankful for that. But anyway, so God provided that. I look at that, and that's amazing. So I have these expenses coming up, right? And all these challenges with the meeting house and the different challenges. And I'm like, well, I wonder how God's going to do all that. Because he did everything else. So I'm just wondering how he's going to do this. So, hey. Maybe he'll use you. Who knows? The Lord knows. None of us do. But praise the Lord. Anyway, exciting stuff. So God has provided in miraculous ways and amazing ways. And we can rejoice. And I can tell my children and the church and everybody else how amazing God has been and how well he has taken care of all of us. So, and how he will in the future. And we rejoice. And you know, the Lord has definitely been with me and is with me in this ministry. And has blessed us greatly with everything. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I just put on, I haven't put on these sermons yet. I just put this one on. And I'm going to put another one on tonight. I got to put a broadcast on. I'm just. But I put two sermons on YouTube yesterday. I'm going to put a ton more. I'm going to have to throw on a bunch of extra ones here. But I want to get the sermons on from Sunday. Preached on Sunday on the home again, on correction of children, and two messages on that. And looking forward to getting that on. If you haven't heard these children's sermons here, you ought to listen to them. Children, who will you follow? Godly parents over peers. That was part two. Then there was another one. That one was. That was last week. I've got to put the new ones on. This one's called Children Don't Be Fools. But Sunday's two sermons on correction of the children, those two with some practical applications need to be put on there. So you pray for that, and I'll keep getting some more sermons popped up there, and we'll work on getting another one on here tonight. I'll probably get my broadcast from Friday on there, and then tomorrow I will get one of those sermons on there, get the other one on there as well. So, crazy stuff for sure. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of, we had a good month on sermon audio, though. Last month, we had 14,000 downloads, over 14,000 downloads on sermon audio. That's remarkable for a small ministry, and that is such a following that is there, faithful followers there that listen to the sermons and blessed by the sermons that are on there. So reaching a lot of countries, reaching a lot of places. Over 14,000 sermon or downloads. That's just for the month of May. Oh, we actually put a lot less on in May. So that is a blessing for sure. But you pray about that the Lord would continue to bless and use that. What a blessing to see that on there. Now, we're going to get to this LGBTQ stuff, but we're going to get to the rainbow. God's rainbow. We're going to talk about God's rainbow versus the LGBTQ rainbow. What a difference, right? What a difference between God's rainbow and that LGBTQ rainbow. And we'll look at the scriptures to see what God says about that. So how are y'all doing out there? I hope you're doing good. Let's see who's on here. I haven't done this in a while. Elijah Morgan. I don't know where he's trucking through. My lovely wife is on here. Pilgrim Lady. Joe McDonald. Becca. Carl Winters. Jody Hammond. Gregory Pace. Maria Perez. Cutillo. Barbara. Scrooge is on here. Fabian. Betty. Angie. Ross Duncan. Michelle. Teresa Darrell's wife. Rachel Bicey. Let's see. Mind my biz. Sifted Sands. Trucking through Texas. All right. Oh, by the way, another thing to let you know about is I'm going to be transferring all of these classics over to Rumble. Okay? So, last week I put on Hollywood Satanic Roots. Yesterday, I put on Disney, the Magic Kingdom, or the Kingdom of God. So, we'll keep putting those classics on there. And see what we can do with those. Try to transfer those over there. So there's plenty of them to get over there. We'll get all those over, transferred slowly over there, and so they're up and running on there. All right. Terry Carter, how are you? Okay. All right, everybody. I guess we better get to work here. God's rainbow versus Sodom's rainbow, rebellious rainbow. Because that's what it is. It stands for the opposite of what God's rainbow stands for. That rainbow that the LGBTQ use has six colors. The rainbow that God uses has seven. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of God's completion. number of man and beast, right? This is what they do. They are compared, though, in Jude to brute beast. In their thinking. In their understanding. So you have to understand that what they're doing is mocking God with that rainbow. Because Satan desires the preeminence. And as I have taught you many times over, I have taught you this. Okay, now I've been more bold with it than most men have. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just stating a fact that I make it very clear. Homosexuality is occult worship. Hitler, Crowley, and secret societies. Back in 2015, there is a series. There's more than that, too. I just haven't put it together. Or put them all in one. Man. I mean, if you're going to choose titles, you got to admit, Joe McDonald, that's a good title. God hates gay rights and destroys nations for them. You got to admit, that is a classic right there. Yeah. That one right there is a good one. I'm pretty happy with that title right there. Okay. And who could forget this one? The homosexual invasion of the churches. So this is not some new hobby I've taken up. I've been preaching this way for many years. Warning people for many years. Oh, and how about this one? Obama overhauling straight America and the Homosexual Manifesto. Definitely a classic. Definitely. Definitely a classic title right there. And what happened? It's exactly what he did, isn't it? You bet it is. He laid the groundwork, and his fruity buddy Trump came in and finished the job. And who could forget about this title? Public schools queering your kids. Absolutely classic. Absolutely classic. Huh? This one got kicked off of YouTube. Boy, they kicked that one clear off of YouTube, man. What's the matter with them anyway? Kicking that off, Carl. So there you go. If you want to, you can go way back. And by the way, that's not the only ones. I mean, there's definitely more that if you'd like to look into them. I'm just showing you this before I get started here, just so you know that down through the years. Oh, I mean, an absolute classic from 2016 that no, who could argue with this one? The Baphomet bathroom battle. Stay out of the girls' bathroom. You pervert. Oh, if anything should get like an award for the craziest, for the most creative title ever. That one right there is a classic. The BBB. Not the Better Business Bureau. But the Baphomet bathroom battle. I mean, you couldn't get any more specific, could you? Stay out of the girls' bathroom, you pervert. Oh, this is why we have no friends. And I am available for your next family conference. Oh, I know you're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes, but if I don't, well, what's my choices? Oh, that was funny. That was a fun one. That one right there was a fun one right there. That's right, Rachel Bice. It used to be known as June Brides, and now it's June Brides. Here's another one. Christian androgyny raising children in an LGBTQ-friendly world. Aha. And who could forget about this one? Man, now this one is a great title. Transgender-friendly Bible versions. Come on, everybody. That right there. That one almost deserves a golf clap. Almost. A golf clap. Almost. So, needless to say, this is not my first rodeo. Genesis chapter 9. Now, we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 9, but you turn there, and we're going to read some verses out of Genesis chapter 9. And we'll talk about the number 9 a little bit, too. But I'll show you how their rainbow is in direct rebellion to God's rainbow. Their rainbow is the Antichrist. Cheap imitation. That's what it is. It is the cheap imitation. All right, verse number 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you. And every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Now I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. Christ, by the way, is that bow in the cloud. Christ is our promise. That bow is a picture of Christ. When Christ comes back again, watch this. In the clouds, right? Look at this, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Hey, look at that. The end of Luke. What happened? And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Acts. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Christ is that covenant. The cloud is a picture of that covenant. It is a picture. The bow in the cloud is a picture of Christ. Just like the lamb is a picture, the Lamb of God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Those are pictures. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They're tapping him on the shoulder saying, "Hey, look, I'm going to be honest with you. If those guys could have lived as long as we are right now, they'd still be looking up there." It wasn't until those men tapped him, "Hey, what are you doing? You got work to do. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Now, you and I ought to wait for the return of Christ. We ought to be always looking for the return of Christ. Because Christ is that bow in the cloud. And he will come again in the clouds. Every eye shall see him. Amen. So that bow is a picture of Christ. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. Okay. Now, I want you to stop for 1 second. I'm going to give you a deep, some good theological and practical understanding here to help you. The strength of these assurances are not that you see the bow in the cloud. No. The strength and the assurance comes when I believe that God sees the bow in the cloud. That I know scripturally that salvation is of the Lord and that God remembers his covenant because of Christ. It is not because I can clearly see the token. Because there will be times that you cannot. That you have no assurances of things, of sight, of things that you can see. But what you do have is God's promise. Because he says, I do set my bow in the cloud. That bow is Jesus. That's the token. That's the picture of Christ. Albeit all types are imperfect because the perfect came and we no longer live in types and shadows. But we have the substance, which is Christ. But don't ignore the comfort that's given in the scriptures, that it is right here. That it is God that sets the bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth. It is God that brings the clouds in your life. You understand that? You say, but I don't always see a rainbow in the cloud. I know. He never said you would. He said he would. He said he would see it. It's God that sees it. And there are times in your life that storms come and clouds come and you don't see that bow, but it is there in the cloud. In the midst of the dark clouds, is God's smiling face. Though the clouds and the tempest may roll and the clouds may be dark, God's smiling face is there. God's loving kindness is there. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, it is God that brings the clouds. It is God that brings the storms. God who calms the storms. I will remember my covenant. Wait, no. The way you and I read that is, well, the strength of my assurance is if I remember these things and if I feel these things. No, the strength of that assurance is that God remembers his covenant. And that we believe God. We believe his promises. Which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud. Shall be in the cloud. Spiritually, the lesson for you and I, as the token is, and the picture is, is God's promise. Bow shall be in cloud. And God said, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh is upon the earth. These are pictures. God said, this is unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. These are pictures. These are types. These are tokens of God's goodness. God's promise. Amen. Now, the rainbow was a token or a sign of God's promise. Yep, we're going to get to that, Jody. Don't be going ahead of me. The rainbow was a token or a sign of God's promise. But in that promise, and this is for the LGBTQ to remember, they have this mock rainbow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God's has 7. Now, you see this. God reminds us of some things. He reminds us in Genesis 6 that he destroyed the earth because of sin. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, so this rainbow reminds us of the judgment of God, that God once destroyed the earth with water. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, let me say this to you. There are men that do not agree with what I'm going to say. I really don't care, but I have to tell you that. I believe that this is talking about the whole earth and all of creation being corrupted. And that's why God destroyed all those animals. I believe hybridization was going on. I can prove that there are hybrids out there. There are hybrids in hell right now, too, as well, being created underground, duplicating. There were also the sons of God visiting the daughters of men. And yes, they were giants. And no, they were not perfectly human. And they perished. I'm not going to get into that teaching today. And a lot of people get offended by that. I've proven that over and over again with the scriptures. I believe. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was pure, was a just man, and perfect in his generations. Right? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, let me show you something that is an argument that men make. They say, now, preacher, if you're going to say that the sons of God were fallen angels that came into the daughters of men, then what you're doing is you're blaming the flood on the devil and on the fallen angels instead of man. No, I'm saying that the fallen angels and man work together in rebellion to God. What do you mean, preacher? That ain't ever going to happen again, is it? That ain't never happened before, is it? You believe in them weird sons of God giant stuff and all that weird Nephilim stuff. What's the matter with you anyway, believing all that stupid stuff? Well, let me show you when it happens again. And God gets angry and he destroys everything. Here, you ready? One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Here it is. Wait. Revelation chapter 13? Yeah. The beast system's going to rise and they're going to make an image to the beast. And then the beast is going to call down fire from heaven and it's going to give life unto the image of the beast. Wait, really? Yeah. And guess what? God is going to allow Satan and the Antichrist to rule the world. Wait, you think so? Yeah, let me show you another passage that talks about it. Second Thessalonians 2:9. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Look at this. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him. Who's him? The Antichrist. The beast. Yeah, Satan's son.
What do you mean there by Satan's son? What are you talking about there anyway? Matter at you.
You know, the mock incarnation. The fact that he can't do what God did, but he'll take what God has and he'll counterfeit it. And he's given power over the earth. And he's given power to work with man. Hey, I got a question for you. For all you people that make that argument in Genesis chapter 6, who gathers all the nations together to deceive them? Here it is. Look, I'll show you. Let's read it. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. By the way, if you want a description of who Satan is, here it is. And he laid hold on the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. How do I know that's the one that was in the garden? That old serpent. That's him. What's another definition? Which is the devil. And Satan. There you go. Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. That's a description for you. So you understand who he is. So you're not deceived. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Wait, are you saying that Satan worked with the nations to deceive them? Well, you must be saying it's Satan's fault then. See how that's a stupid argument? Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones. They sat upon them. The judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, let's go down to verse number 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. So, what do we have here? Same thing as Genesis chapter 6. Devils and the devil's kingdom working with man to rebel against God. Same plan in the garden. Same thing going on now. Right? There you go. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. So that's Genesis 6, but what does that rainbow remind us of? Judgment. It reminds us of judgment. That God judged the world and he flooded the world. Right? That God judged the world. Also, that, and that's part of the, that's a picture of the gospel. The bow in the cloud is a picture of the gospel. And why is that? Well, check it out. I'll show you. When Paul states, the Apostle Paul states what the gospel is. Oops. Wrong chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here it is. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, the first part of the gospel. The bow pictures and reminds us that God is has a promise that he is making. And that promise is that he would no longer destroy because of the bow. Or because he remembers the picture. You and I are saved from our sins by Christ. That Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures. That's why when we preach the gospel, I get all these Ruckmanites and all these other people say, I don't know where you get your gospel at, but I'll get it from this right here. And then and then they gut repented, some of them do. Well, I don't have to, I can take the gospel from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 too, and I don't have to gut repentance out of it. Why is that? Because Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. That means you got a problem. You're a sinner. And you better repent. Why? Because there's a need to. Because Jesus died for your sins, meaning you are a sinner. Meaning you are guilty before God. There ain't nobody that can read the book of Romans and believe that there is no repentance of sin there. I mean, a saved man. They may deny it in an argument, but they don't deny it if they're saved in practicality. They don't. They may semantically argue it, but practically they believe it. I know a lot of those men do. And I know they're saved men. Okay. Even God's symbol of grace, in his symbol of grace, the bow, we are reminded of his judgment. The gospel reminds us that Jesus Christ, I don't know how I didn't get that S in there, but Jesus Christ died for our sins and that man is guilty and dead in trespasses and sins. If you're under the sound of my voice and you've never repented, your sin is upon you. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then your sin is upon you. But Jesus Christ died for your sins. That he was buried and he rose again from the dead. All my sin is under the blood because of the atonement that Christ made on Calvary. He saved my soul, oh bless his name. And his atonement is all sufficient for my sins. Amen. Hallelujah. What a savior. The bow is 99 times in the Bible. That word bow. 99 times. Isn't that interesting? Now, it doesn't always represent the bow in the cloud, right? But it represents a bow. I'll read you that at the end. The bow stands for the promise of God. By the way, that number 9 is the number of fruitfulness. If you read Genesis chapter 9, you see that God says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's Genesis 9. The bow in the cloud is in Genesis 9, God's promise of fruitfulness. A woman is with child 9 months. By the way, thank you for your prayers. Baby number 8. Little baby boy number 8 is doing well. And Hannah's doing well. We just had a checkup yesterday. Thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for us. We'd appreciate it. So nine months, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Nine. Fruit. All one cluster. The fruit of the Spirit. Right? So that number is nine. That's right. The fruit of the womb is nine. Fruit of the Spirit is nine. Being fruitful and multiplying. Number nine. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Yep, Jody Hammond, baby number eight is I think we're at 25 weeks, but I can't remember. And it's a boy. He's a boy. No, she didn't have the baby yet. He's still incubating. He's still in the oven. By the way, here's another interesting point. I want you to think about this. The bow in the cloud. Here's Sodom's rebellious rainbow. Okay? Here's Sodom's rebellious rainbow. What does it stand for? Well, it can't reproduce anything. It can't reproduce anything. Do you get it? God's rainbow is a sign of be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Sodom's rainbow is rebellious and they can't have babies. They can't produce children. So they have to steal others. Right? They can't. So they have to steal others. That's what they do. Sodom's rebellious rainbow is the opposite. They hate children. It stands for denying the God that made them, male and female. The bow represents the holy nature of God ruling over all. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices.
And there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Right? Another reference. Revelation chapter 10. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. That's Christ, I believe. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things that are which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Now, maybe this is the revelation or maybe John is one of the prophets that come back. One of the witnesses. Maybe John's one of them. Who knows? Right? Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. Because it says here, he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. John's gonna. But who knows, right? God knows, that's who. But we don't. But it is interesting, isn't it? To say the least. I haven't thought about that much. Very interesting. The rebellious rainbow of Sodom is a cheap forgery and mocks the rainbow around the throne of God. It's Satan's cheap mockery. Isn't it? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. I think this is interesting. I mean, the whole chapter is. We're going to see that rainbow around the throne of God again. Remember, Ezekiel is taken up into this. And let's just read the whole chapter, right? It's that good. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, the fourth month and the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud,
and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now, remember what we saw in Revelation? That color of amber? What was that around the throne of God, where the rainbow was? That's where it was. Yes, they do spell. Three times it's there. I think in the New Testament they spell it different. But anyway. Okay. Amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Remember we talked about that burnished brass? Again, in Revelation, it talks about that brass, right? Feet like fine brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four had also the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies, and they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. That's interesting, but that's the chariots, and we don't have time to talk about that. As for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So this is what he is seeing. This is the vision that he has. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. They four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes, round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament upon the heads of living creatures was the color of the terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight. And one toward the other, every one had two which covered on this side. Every one had two which covered on that side of their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. Look, listen, as the voice of the Almighty. Voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. Can you imagine being Ezekiel and seeing this? Wow. How absolutely astonished and terrified you'd be. And these guys that like Jesse Duplantis. He comes back and tells you about heaven. That everybody talk like Jesse in heaven. Totally opposite of the sober-mindedness of this. the voice of the Almighty. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament there was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Here's the throne of God. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Okay. So that is the throne of God. The rainbow is a picture of God's sovereignty over the world. His throne, high above all principalities and powers. That all things are under Christ's feet. That's the throne of God. That's the rainbow. Satan ripped off the rainbow, put a counterfeit rainbow in there. Well, why would he steal God's rainbow? Right here. Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Here it is. That's his throne. The number of the beast. Right? Here it is. He doeth great wonders. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. There it is. That's the number of the beast. Uh-huh. He took the image. He took the token. Because he's a counterfeiter. But see, God showed you that it wasn't his rainbow. This is the number of perfection. His is 7. His is completion and perfection and maturity. Right? His is the number of perfection. Satan's is the imitator. Never the originator, always the imitator. Right? So he said that he would do that. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's him. That's what he does. That's his work. I do like what Matthew Henry said. My throat doesn't go dry here. All right. This seal is affixed with repeated assurances of the truth of that promise of which it was designed to be the ratification. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be seen in the cloud, that the eye may affect the heart and confirm the faith. It shall be the token of the covenant and will remember my covenant, that the waters shall no more become a flood. Nay, if the eternal mind needed a memorandum, I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. Thus, here is the line upon line that we might have sure and strong consolation to have laid hold of this hope. The rainbow appears when the clouds are most disposed to wet and returns after the rain. When we have most reason to fear the rain prevailing, then God shows this seal of the promise that it shall not prevail. Thus God obviates our fears and such encouragements as are both suitable and seasonable. The thicker the cloud, the brighter the bow in the cloud. Thus, as threatening afflictions abound, encouraging consolations much more abound. The rainbow appears when one part of the sky is clear, which intimates mercy remembered in the midst of wrath, and the clouds are hemmed, as it were, with the rainbow, that they may not overspread the heavens, for the bow is colored rain, or the edges of the cloud gilded. The rainbow is the reflection of the beams of the sun, which intimates that all the glory and significancy of the seals of the covenant are derived from Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who is also described with a rainbow about his throne, rainbow upon his head, which intimates not only his majesty, but his mediatorship. God, Christ, is the only mediator between God and man. The rainbow, says Matthew Henry, has fiery colors in it, signifying that though God will not again drown the world, yet when the mystery of God shall be finished, the world shall be consumed by fire. A bow bespeaks terror, but this bow has neither string nor arrow, as the bow ordained against the persecutors have in Psalm 7. And a bow alone will do little execution. It is a bow, but it is directed upwards, not towards the earth, for the seals of the covenant were intended to comfort, not to terrify. As God looks upon the bow, that he may remember the covenant, so should we, that we may also be ever mindful of the covenant with faith and thankfulness. Okay, now I want to read you what A.W. Pink says about this bow. I thought it was And God says, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. These verses bring before us the token of the covenant. The giving of the rainbow, God ratified the promise which he made. The bow in the cloud was not only to assure man that no more would the earth be destroyed by a flood, but it was also the memorial of a new relationship with God had entered into with his creatures. His eye, not man's only, is upon the bow. Thus he gives them fellowship with himself in that which speaks of peace in the midst of trouble, of light in the place of darkness. What this bow speaks of, it is ours to realize, who have the reality of which all figures speak. God is light. That which does make manifest is light. Science has told us that the colors which everywhere clothe the face of nature are but the manifold beauty of the light itself. The pure ray, which to us is colorless, is but the harmonious blending of all possible colors. The primary one, a trinity in unity, from which all others are produced, blue, red, and yellow, and the actual color of any object is a result of its capacity to absorb the rest. If it absorbed the red and yellow rays, the thing is blue. If the blue and yellow, it is red. If the red only, it is green, and so on. Thus, the light paints all nature and its beauty, which in the individual ray we have not eyes for, comes out in partial displays, wherein it is broken up for us, made perceptible. Hey, good. I have some water. I need it. There we go. God is light, and that which does make manifest is light. He is the Father of lights. The glory which in its broken unity is beyond what we have sight for. He reveals to us as distinct attributes in partial displays which we are more able to take in. And with these, he clothes in some way all the works of his hands. The jewels on the high priest's breastplate, many colored gems wherein the names of his people were engraved, were thus the Urim and the Thummim, the lights and perfections, typically, of God himself. For his people are identified with the display of those perfections, those lights, him, more unchangeable than the typical gems. In the rainbow, the whole array of these lights manifests itself, solar rays reflecting themselves in the storm, the interpretation of which is simple. I bring a cloud over the earth, says the Lord. The bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I, not merely you, will look upon it. How blessed to know that the cloud that comes over our sky is of his bringing. If so, how sure that some way he will reveal his glory in it. That is not all, nor the half. For surely but once has been the full display of the whole prism of glow, that in the blackest storm of judgment that ever was, it is this in the cross of his Son that God above all looks upon that he remembers. That was by F.W. Grant, recorded by A.W.P. In the rainbow, we have more than a hint of grace, as someone has said. The bow is directed towards heaven. The arrow to it, there is none, as if it had already been discharged. There are many parallels between the rainbow and God's grace. As the rainbow is the joint product of storm and sunshine, so grace is the unmerited favor of God appearing on the dark background of the creature's sin. As the rainbow is the effect of the sun shining on the drops of rain in a rain cloud, so divine grace is manifested by God's love shining through the blood shed by our blessed Redeemer. As the rainbow is the telling out of the varied hues of the white light, so the manifold grace of God First Peter chapter 4:10 talks about the manifold grace of God. The manifold, right? Every man that received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In the rainbow, we have the manifold grace of God as the ultimate expression of God's heart. As nature knows nothing more exquisitely beautiful than the rainbow, so heaven itself knows nothing that equals in loveliness the wonderful grace of our God. As the rainbow is the union of heaven and earth, spanning the sky and reaching down to the ground, so grace in the one mediator to all men. It's Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's that picture of that rainbow. That's Christ, right? Who hath appeared. So grace in the one mediator to all men. Finally, as the rainbow has been displayed throughout all the past centuries, so in the ages to come, God will show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Christ is that bow in the cloud. He is that picture of grace. He is that grace personified. The Bible says that Christ is the express image, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's Christ. So Satan today wants to counterfeit that rainbow. He wants to counterfeit and does have a counterfeit rainbow based on debauchery and rebellion against God. And it fits the rebellion. It symbolizes the rebellion. That's Satan's throne that he's established. It'll be part of the end times. It is part of the end times takeover. The hybridization, the perversion. Everything that God hates. That's what they are doing. They are doing everything that God hates. Everything that God hates. That's what they're doing. Because that's what's in their heart, and it just symbolizes that. So when you hear them talk about God loves everybody, remember that this is the God that they're talking about. Remember this. Who sees that when they show their signs and their symbols and their pride and their rainbow, and when you see what they say, their pictures, maybe it's before then. Let me see if I can. Oh. See if I have a. Let's see. So right here, I'm looking down at their signs, right? And their signs depict churches. with the rainbow flag. Look at this. This is their churches, all the churches that are sponsoring it. That's their symbol, this rainbow. So the churches that are a part of that, that's their symbol. Turquoise is for magic. We believe you. It's for a spirit. We believe you. We believe you. I believe them. Right? I do believe them, but what is their God? Right? That's their God. What they believe. And their God loves everyone. And their God stands for that perversion. And their churches stand for it. So when they shine their flag, when they have their flag, they're representing Satan. They're representing the Antichrist. Look what it says here. People have speculated that Baker was inspired by Judy Garland's song Over the Rainbow. Garland being among the first gay icons. The Elvis of homosexuals. He's widely considered as a gay icon. The Advocate has called Garland evil, the Elvis of homosexuals, a reason frequently given for her standing as an icon among gay men and our admiration of her ability and performer. The way her personal struggles seem to mirror those of gay men in America. And her value as a camp figure. Garland's role as Dorothy Gale, the Wizard of Oz, is particularly known for contributing to this status. In the 1960s, when a reporter asked how she felt about having a large gay following, she replied, "I couldn't care less. I sing to people." Boys in the tight trousers. So I have no idea if she was gay at all. I have no idea. But anyway, that's the rainbow flag, and that's what they stand for. So their symbol means something, right? Means. We know what it means. The Bible tells us what they believe. And it's a usurpation. They're usurping God's authority. Spirit Day. The annual LGBT Awareness Day since 2010 takes its name from the vilest stripe representing spirit on the rainbow flag. Spirit Day. They have their own Spirit Day. Oh, they definitely have a spirit. And their churches are definitely, I agree with them that their churches love everybody in that sense. Their love is not our love. Their love is not what we call biblical love. Right? Not who they are. They represent Satan. We know what our rainbow represents. And God made sure you could understand the difference. They don't have God's rainbow. They have another one. Theirs is a magic. Right? They have an 8-stripe version, which is a representation of eternity, the serpent. They just want to mock God is all they want. And that's what they do. But we know what God says in his word about it. And the Lord is going to exact judgment upon them. All right, everybody. Let's see here. What a blessing that song is. I got to start playing some more of these. I haven't played all of these before. I'm going to play this one more, and then we'll be done here. I'll say goodbye before I'm done. But
there's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder at sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. There's the wonder of God's revelation, the Word who dwelt amongst men. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is that Jesus is coming again. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
Amen. All right, the wonder of it all. All right, you all, you pray for us as we continue on tonight. I'll be preaching in about 3.5 hours or so over at the Meeting House at Old Paths Baptist Church. We'll be having our Wednesday evening service. And just pray for services to be a blessing. And preaching back in the book of Ephesians, we'll be talking about things. We're going to fit it. I got one more sermon after this one in Ephesians chapter 1. So I got this week and Lord willing next week, and then we'll hit Ephesians chapter 2. Probably be there a while. There's a lot in Ephesians chapter 2. But we'll be praying about that for sure. And so we'll be on live 7:45 Central, 7:45 p.m. Central. Okay. And you pray for us there. Also pray for us this weekend. We'll be preaching on Saturday at the Pride event in Golden Valley. Please pray for us. It's going to get nastier as the month goes. So pray for us that the Lord would bless us. And that that event there. Please pray for us there. And also, if you would like to give to our ministry, number one, please pray for our ministry. Pray for us, our needs daily. I ask you to do that. Number two, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. It's our PayPal address, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And otherwise, you could do Venmo, Apple Pay, Cash App, Coinbase, all kinds of other things, whatever the Lord leads. Or you can mail something until August 30th, 31st. You can mail something to 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right? Anyway, we will see you, Lord willing, Friday, 2 p.m. Central, for our Friday broadcast. Friday, 2 p.m. Central. And then we'll be broadcasting live on Saturday as well. Okay? So that'll be during the preaching there on Saturday. Everybody's making me hungry. Somebody's sewing. Somebody's praying. That's good. Somebody else is sewing something. But Becca's making dinner rolls. All right. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And we will definitely, Lord willing, anyway, talk to you on Friday.